We've spent a lot of time covering the Middle Waves Music Festival as it has grown over the last 2 years. Today we will hear from Katie Silliman, the festival chair, and Corey Rader, the booking chair, to discuss the recently announced lineup for the 2018 version of the festival. Katie Silliman, Corey Rader, welcome to WBOI Presents.
Thanks for having us.
Excited.
Before we start breaking down the process, let's set up a timeline. When did you start planning for the 2018 Middle Waves Music Festival?
At this point, we take maybe a week, 2 weeks off from following last year's event, and then start right away figuring out who do we need to have on the team, where should our focus be, what did we learn from last year, how do we make next year even better. So it's really almost a full year-round planning process at this point in time.
The last day of May, Middle Waves hosted a lineup announcement party at Hop River Brewing Company. The space was packed. How exciting was it to see this kind of enthusiasm for Middle Waves in the community when the festival is still 3 months out?
It's been great the past 3 years that people want to come out just to figure out where they're going to be in the end of September. I haven't seen it happen for many other places, so it's really exciting to get that support from the city and the fans.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite parts. It's so cool to see year after year the number of people that show up, and it's, for us, it kind of in some ways kicks off the festival season in terms of the build up and really getting out there and talking to people about the lineup. One of the hardest things is we know who we've booked and everybody wants to know, but we're still in the process of signing contracts, getting deposits paid. So we're all quiet until that event, and just to see now the continued buildup of our fan base is so awesome. There are people there wearing 2016 t-shirts, people wearing 2017 t-shirts, and I think that for me was really cool.
The first and second Middle Waves festivals were both big hits. Corey, I'll direct this question more at you, and then Katie, if you want to chime in, feel free. In what ways has the festival's success made booking easier?
It's definitely easier that the booking agents know who we are and know we're not a fly-by-night situation and we have supporters, and that makes it easier. But it's always a challenge. It's always a challenge to try. There's a lot of festivals out there. There's a lot of competition. So it's a battle every year to try to get who you want.
At the announcement party, we heard about the hours and hours of video that are watched to make sure these bands can bring a strong live performance. I spoke with Matt Kelly last year, and he mentioned sending out scouts to see bands when they're in other cities. Tell us more about the groundwork to get the festival booked.
It is a lot of hours of listening to a variety of different musicians, and I just joined the booking committee this year, so this has been my rookie year getting engaged in the process. It's a lot of back and forth. There's some long booking meetings where we're fighting about what genre do we need to present on what night, and who's a solid performer, who's one that will help us sell tickets. There's a lot of intense discussion. That's just the start of figuring out who we should even consider approaching. Then once you begin that process, which Corey is the one that's really taking on a hefty load here of negotiating with booking agents, and they want to know who else is being booked, where are they going to end up on the festival poster. There's just so many different elements to it. It's so many different nuances at each step of the process, and it takes a strong constitution to stay focused on that end goal.
Let's take a look at the lineup. After bringing in the Flaming Lips and MGMT the last 2 years, what led to the selection of Dr. Dog for this year's festival?
We did try to change things up this year. In the past 2 years, we spent the lion's share of our talent budget on one act, which was great. It got us some headlines, and we got bands here like Flaming Lips and MGMT that probably would have never come to the city. But it did drop off pretty heavily after that first headliner. So we thought this year we'd take that same amount of budget, but try to spread it more evenly around. So we look at it like we have 3 or 4 headliners this year. So we hope we got into some different genres that people like. We love Dr. Dog. We think they are great at playing live music for the past 20 years. They're going to put on a great show. But we also got a lot of other stuff throughout the festival that I hope brings value.
Let's talk about some of the other headliners. Who are some of the other acts you're most excited to bring to Fort Wayne?
This is the other thing, too, where a well-rounded booking committee, everybody has their favorites. Everyone has their genres and their lanes that they really love. And so for me personally, I'm super excited about the strong female leads that we're bringing to the festival this year with Lizzo and Betty Who and bringing Flint Eastwood back. I just think that's just that trio right there is going to be such a strong, fun time for a lot of people in the community.
I think we tried to focus a little bit more on hip-hop this year, which doesn't seem to be something that this town has done a lot, which current modern-day hip-hop. And so we hope we can get some people out there since hip-hop is the genre of music that's the number one seller right now. It's something we think that this town needs.
For any local acts listening, perhaps we can lend them a hand here. What are you looking for in local bands to play at Middle Waves?
We have a lot of very talented bands locally and in the region, and we've tried not to repeat the same bands over the past 2 years, so that's starting to get difficult, but it seems like new bands keep popping up, so we're really lucky. A lot of great bands that are trying to make their own original music, which is what we're trying to focus on. We have a lot of great bands that do covers and are very great musicians, but our genre here, our niche, is going to be trying to keep with the local original music, and there's a lot to choose from.
What are some of the biggest challenges that lie between you and your team and another successful festival in September?
Well, my job starts to slow down with the booking process. Katie's the one out there raising the money and keeping us online, so she's got a lot of work ahead of her. We've got a little work in the booking committee, but the main part is pretty much done. We'll fill some of these slots and then just make sure the bands show up on time.
And not just with an event like this, but with any small business, it's, you know, about how can you really rally the resources needed. We make a commitment that half of our budget is focused on that talent, and they all want to be paid pretty much almost all of it before the festival or have a check ready the moment their set finishes. So, and the crazy thing is that I'm guilty of this just as much as the next person, that most people wait until 2 weeks before, a week before, the day before the event, especially since you're not buying a reserved seat. So for us, it's about managing our resources, making sure A, we have enough, and then B, that it's coming in at the right time to secure all those deposits. And because we are committed to spending so much of our money on talent, we have a more limited marketing budget. And so really growing that brand awareness, you know, it's fun when people are so excited about the festival, but we're also amazed by how many people still don't know about the festival. And so really building that strong base of patrons that know that Middle Waves is a sure thing, you're going to have an amazing time. So really kind of playing that in that space around resources where our critical focus is.
Corey Rader, Katie Sullivan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.